former special counsel Robert Mueller testify today in front of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. He answered questions about his investigation into Russia's interference into the 2016 presidential campaign, the Trump campaign's involvement with the Russian government, and potential obstruction of justice. Mueller refused to answer many questions from both Republicans and Democratic lawmakers, referring them instead to his office's reports summarizing the investigation. Mueller did emphasize the thoroughness of his team's work and the danger of Russian interference in future elections. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What did you take away from the hearings today? Did your opinion on the president or the investigation change at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, it was quite a day, about 7 hours of testimony, I believe, total. What do you make of Mueller's tone and approach to the hearings today?
Yeah, I think he approached the hearings, and in fact, he said this ahead of time, that he is going to stick to the four corners of his report. He said, my report, my lengthy report, speaks for itself. And I think we saw that in the hearing today. We didn't get any, you know, big new bombshells or anything like that, new information that we didn't already have in the report. And so I think his tone overall was to say, look, if you're going to ask me questions that are outside the four corners of that report, which a number of Democrats and Republicans alike asked him questions outside the report, he was going to not answer those questions. And he stuck to that that strategy and that approach during the hearing.
And given that Democrats on these committees very likely knew that Mueller wasn't going to stray from his report or offer a lot of new details, he had said as much when he gave that one short press conference earlier this year. Given that, why did they want to hold these hearings now?
Well, I think they did want to hear from really the main figure in this investigation, especially since Mueller hadn't been, even though he was in the public eye, certainly, as the investigation continued, he had very little contact with the media and really very little public presence outside of that brief press conference and what he had in the report itself. So I think they wanted to hear from the central figure himself. And also, I mean, from the Democrats' perspective, and one thing that perhaps they succeeded on was to get Mueller to at least subtly push back on some of the criticism from President Trump and others, either both criticism of Mueller and the investigation as well as what the report represented. So just one brief example, right at the beginning of the hearing, there was a question, did the report exonerate the president? And Mueller just responded with a quick no, it did not. You know, that contrasts with President Trump's tweets about how the report represented total exoneration.
And that was definitely a theme for the Democrats, especially in the Judiciary Committee, I would say. How would you characterize the thread of questioning from the Republican members of the committees?
I think from the Republicans' perspective, they were bringing the approach that the investigation was a witch hunt, or it was a partisan-driven investigation. And so a lot of the Republican questions were bringing up, you know, that series of tweets from, or rather text messages from investigators that seemed to imply that they, you know, they didn't like Trump. And so they were pressing that angle to say, isn't this just a partisan witch hunt? And I think that's one area where Mueller, who, again, he didn't answer a lot of questions, and he gave very brief answers when he did. But I think one thing that he was really strongly pushing back against was this was insinuations that this was a partisan exercise. And so he spent a decent amount of time, both in the first and second half of the of his testimony today, really building up the credibility of his investigatory team.
We're talking with Paul Nolet right now. He's an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and we are talking about former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony today in front of two different House committees. And referring to a series of President Trump's tweets praising WikiLeaks, which published hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee, Robert Mueller said, quote, problematic is an understatement, end quote. It seems like that's something that Mueller felt very strongly about and that it went to the issue of Russian interference. Why was that in particular such a strong point for Mueller?
Yeah, and I'd say that was probably the one point, maybe the only point during the entire 7 hours of testimony where I think Mueller had a sharper edge in criticizing the president on that particular tweet. And I think the reason why he was pretty passionate about that point was that he wanted to emphasize, and I think he did so more in the second half of the testimony, he wanted to emphasize that a critical part of his report was showing how Russia not only interfered with the 2016 election, but they're seeking to do so again. And in fact, said something like, you know, as we sit here, Russia has intent to interfere in the election again in the next cycle. And I think he wanted that to be a critical message coming out of today. So that tweet from the president trying to encourage this sort of activity, I think from his perspective, certainly was, as he said, very problematic.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And John and Shano is up. Hi, John.
Oh, hello. Say, listening all morning. My only one comment is how much partisan it has all been, of course, and how snide the Republicans are. And that's about it.
So, thanks for that, John. I have to say, Paul, certainly there was no confusion about whether you were listening to a Republican or a Democrat as they started their questions, even before NPR came in and said who was speaking.
No, that at any point in the 7 hours, if you just listen to a random 30-second clip, you'd know exactly what party the questioner was from. Exactly. And I think, look, I mean, there's going to be this partisan back and forth. And I think there was absolutely in this hearing. I think Democrats and Republicans will come away from this largely unchanged in terms of how they view the report and how they view President Trump. I don't think anything big changed there. I do think, though, that point that I just mentioned about Mueller emphasizing Russia's involvement in American elections is an important one, and really one that I think if there's anywhere where we can hopefully get to some bipartisan agreement, it would be that we don't want Russia getting involved in American elections and trying to interfere with that. So I think that's what Mueller was trying to push this point, not about, you know, should there be impeachment or not. He's not going to get involved in that sort of partisan question, but rather this question that he was tasked with, which is Russian involvement in the election.
Robert Mueller referred several times to an opinion from the Office of Legal Counsel, or the OLC, which is what we heard many times during the testimony today, that led him to not make a conclusion on whether to indict President Trump on obstruction of justice. Can you talk more about what that opinion is and what it says?
Yeah, so this is an opinion that's been around for quite some time, you know, over about 20 years at this point, in which the Department of Justice, in their own opinion, has said that the president cannot be indicted while president. It's a question that the U.S. Supreme Court, which ultimately resolves these sorts of questions, has not dealt with in its entire history. So it's an open legal question right now. Filling the void is this OLC opinion. And of course, the reason why that's important to Mueller is that he's part of the Department of Justice here. He follows the rules that the Department of Justice puts forward. So one of the back and forth during the hearing was the extent to which that opinion that says you can't indict a president, to what extent was that a roadblock for Mueller in not bringing an indictment against the president. And he seemed to imply in the first half that that was the only barrier, like as in he would have had an indictment had it not been for that OLC memo. But he clarified in the second half that that was just one consideration, and it's not like that was the only barrier to him bringing an indictment. So it was a pretty important back and forth that he clarified from the first half of the of his testimony.
And Republican Representative Ken Buck had an exchange with Robert Mueller about an indictment after a president leaves office. Let's take a listen to that.
Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
So, Paul, is this something that could happen after President Trump does leave office, whether in 2020 or 2024, or is this specific question of obstruction wrapped up at this point?
No, I mean, I think it potentially is an open question for the future about, you know, when President Trump is no longer president, does that change the calculus here? And it gets to that same issue about that OLC Office of Legal Counsel opinion about not indicting a sitting president, which doesn't talk about presidents after their time in office. So I think it is an open question. I thought it was interesting that Mueller answered that in a very clear yes, he could be indicted after sitting as president. Ultimately, I think that's going to be a question for the courts, though. It's not like Bob Mueller is the end-all or be-all on that question. I think the courts would get involved in that if there was an indictment after President Trump left office.
I think Bob Mueller is really hoping he can just retire at this point.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, he's had really an incredible career of public service. And this is probably not exactly the way that he wanted to end that illustrious career. But here we are.
We're continuing our look back at former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony today. We're talking with Paul Nolet, associate professor of political science at Marquette. And you can call in at 800-642-1234. What did you make of what Mueller said or didn't say today? Do you still have questions after his testimony? And what would you have asked Mueller if you had the chance? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. And let's go to the phones. Kathy in Oak Creek is up. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi. What did you have to say?
Well, I was just saying that in regard to if you know, this testimony changed people's minds, and I really don't think it did. I think people, you know, are set either way. But I was glad to hear that that Trump could be indicted after his term is up, which is a pretty clear indication of obstruction. And, you know, to impeach, you know, I'd love to see him out, but I don't think that would be effective. And I think it would hurt the Democratic Party more than help anything.
Thanks for that, Kathy. So nothing much new, but Kathy did feel it was important and significant that there could be something that happens after the president leaves office.
No, I think that is definitely something out of this hearing that is newsworthy. I think the fact that Mueller did have that clear yes, just a yes, in fact, to those inquiries about whether he could be indicted, charged with obstruction of justice after he was president. Now, I don't know exactly what that means in terms of, you know, would there be enough evidence and such to charge him with obstruction of justice after his time in office? I think that's, again, up to the prosecutors at the time. That's what Mueller would say. But I think just as a threshold question, when that OLC memo is no longer there that restricts indicting a sitting president, that means that, you know, that barrier is no longer there, then prosecutors could forge ahead. So I think he was making that clear. I don't think he was making any larger claim about whether that ought to happen. I think if any member said, ought that to happen, he would say, well, I'm not going to get into that. But I think that's certainly a possibility as we move forward and once President Trump is no longer in office.
And I want to let people know, we did a show in June about how charging the president after he leaves office would work. If people want to listen back, we're attaching a link to that program to the segment note for our conversation right now. So people can find that at WPR.org/Central Time. And Paul, one theme from Republican lawmakers was the suggestion that Mueller's investigation exceeded its original mandate. Was that them messaging their own supporters, or is that something that they really feel is true?
Well, I mean, I think maybe they did have concerns about the investigation exceeding the mandate. And, you know, this is something that obviously is colored by the bipartisanship. I mean, certainly Democrats back in the Clinton years were very concerned that Ken Starr, then independent counsel, not a DOJ special counsel, but an independent counsel, was having much too broad of a investigation. And, you know, now Republicans are pushing back on Mueller. So it's to be expected, I think, that Republicans are going to be using that argument. So they tried to bring that up, I think, during the testimony today. One of their big things, though, again, was going back to trying to make the case that it was that this investigation was partisan. So even in fact, this can't seem to come up even more so than whether it expanded outside of its mandate. It was whether it was partisan. And that's why I think Mueller spent quite a bit of his answers pushing back on that suggestion, saying, you know, in my years, I hire based upon merit, not based upon the political leanings of my investigators.
Let's go back to the phones, and Pat in Three Lakes is up. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't think this accomplished too much for anybody. I think you had your mind made up, if it's still made up. However, I do believe that since the majority of people in the United States think that President Trump is a despicable human being, that if the Democrats and the independents get down and do their work, they can beat Trump. Otherwise, it's going to be 4 more years.
Thanks for that call, Pat. And Paul, it is an interesting time, given that there are 20 plus Democrats who are right now running to unseat President Trump.
Right. And so I think it was inevitable whether this hearing happened or not. And by the way, I would agree that I don't think this necessarily changed all that much. Because I think that partisan divide on the Russia investigation and Mueller and Trump's behavior and all of that has existed for some time. And I think where we're at is similar to where we were at after the written report was, or most of the written report was released to the public. And I think that's going to be a big part of the 2020 conversation as well. Absolutely. In terms of what this means for, you know, the House of Representatives and whether they proceed with impeachment, which a number of Democratic members have suggested would be the right course of action, I don't think this changes anything. I mean, I think from Speaker Pelosi's perspective, she doesn't think that it's a great political move at this point, and I don't think anything changed after this hearing.
Democratic Representative Val Demings of Florida asked Robert Mueller about the cooperation or lack thereof of the White House and the Trump campaign in the investigation. Here's a listen.
It is fair to say then that there were limits on what evidence was available to your investigation of both Russia election interference and obstruction of justice.
That's true, and it's usually the case.
And that lies by Trump campaign officials and administration officials impeded your investigation.
I would generally agree with that.
Representative Demings wasn't the only Democrat to focus on the lying that Mueller's team dealt with in the investigation. At one point, there was kind of a litany of people who had lied in front of congressional in congressional hearings. What do you make of that line of questioning, Paul?
Well, it's interesting because that could feed into any potential impeachment hearings if that ends up happening on the House side, or any post-Trump presidency indictments on obstruction of justice. And the reason it gets to that is because, I mean, one thing that Mueller made clear in his previous charging throughout the investigation was that there were members, former members of the Trump team that lied to the investigators. That was clear. However, he also pretty forcefully said here, at least as forcefully as Mueller get during this hearing, that really made a difference to the investigation. I think that's the significance there, that this lying really did present something of a barrier to his investigators. And this actually goes along with the back and forth also between a number of the members and Mueller when they were asking about, you know, why didn't Trump sit down for a meeting and why didn't you try to force Trump to sit down with you and that sort of thing. And his answer was essentially that we thought it would extend the investigation on too long. So he implied there were going to be a lot of legal issues that would have to be fought in the courts for months and months, and he didn't think that was ultimately worth it. So I think those two things together may potentially give some ammunition for those who want either an impeachment or an indictment after Trump is president.
Well, this may be the last chapter in the Mueller investigation, but there are still others ongoing at the state level. We will be following those, and I'm sure we'll talk with you again, Paul.
It would be great.
Thanks for joining us. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. He was with us to talk about today's congressional testimony by former special counsel Robert Mueller.